Hey.
Yo, 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 baby, yo.
That's Salt and Pepper, right?
It is.
Okay. I forgot what the next lyrics were after that, but push it. Are those different songs?
You know, I really don't know. I'm not even gonna lie to you. So Salt and Pepper's here. I know I got my ass whipped for singing Push It when I was four.
Oh, yeah, I don't remember getting in trouble for that song, but I definitely remember Uchiwali being an issue.
I can see that.
Yeah. Totes and approps.
Oh man, our childhoods. Anywho, well, welcome back to the Thousand Miles Apart podcast world. I am Stephanie.
And I'm Takara. And this is our podcast about two best friends who sadly live 1,000 miles apart. We're making it work though.
We're doing our best. This.
Good, good. So we got some new topics for you guys today. Stephanie, you want to start us out?
Yes. Before I get started, I'd like to apologize in advance for Bob the Builder, aka the Hubs, who is downstairs underneath me building shit still. So if you hear a drill going off, a hammer banging and tapping, charge it to my creative husband and not to my podcast. Thank you.
We'll just consider this one an extra special ASMR episode.
Yes. You know, we're moving past smacking on food and going straight to weird stuff. Oh, wait, is that also whispering like this?
Yes.
Is that ASMR?
Yes, if we whisper like this, apparently it's very appealing to some people. And I'm actually not whispering. I'm just trying to make my voice lower.
That's what I'm doing too, because I don't want people not to be able to hear me, but I want to appeal to all of your senses.
I need somebody to make an ASMR video of crunching noises. Ugh. Like stepping on sticks, like dry branches, eating kettle chips. What else is a crunchy noise? I don't know, tortilla chips, tacos.
I'm not built for any of that. All of that is making my blood like, oh God.
I have self-diagnosed misophonia. Certain mouth noises really like squeak me out where I'm like, ah, die. But this is really it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I hate mouth sounds. I don't want to hear you smacking. I don't want to hear you chew. I don't want to hear you swallow your spit. It's disgusting. Ugh. All right, let's move on to other disgusting things.
Yeah.
So we didn't talk about it last week, but it's kind of a good thing we didn't. The whole Will, Jada, and August entanglement. Because after August Alsina came out about his encounter or relationship with Jada Pinkett Smith, Jada Pinkett Smith brought herself to the red table. And I guess Will took her spot at the red table to be the Iyanla VanZant of their show. And yeah, so... Jada Pinkett Smith said that she was in an entanglement with August Alsina, and Will basically called her out and was like, call it what it is. It was a relationship. I love how she danced around it though. Just a cute little dance around what it was during a period of their separation. Go ahead.
Didn't we Google exactly what the definition of entanglement was? Because I thought it a very fitting word for, you know, at least for her part, what she thought the relationship was.
But who calls it an entanglement?
You still drinking Jack and Coke?
Yes. Well, I'm out of Coke. It's straight Jack now. It's Jack Daniel's honey. All you need is ice. I am in an entanglement, not only with saying that phrase, but with Jack Daniel's. You know, I don't have a problem, but you know, he comes around every so often and we tangle.
Okay, no judgment here.
You bet not.
Yes,
What were you saying? The definition of entanglement.
Googling it right now. Okay. Oh, I hate when they use the word to define the word. It's really annoying.
Being entangled.
Yes. Quantum entanglement. I didn't ask for all that.
Quantum.
Gee, Jeebus. Now they're talking about dolphins. Like, come on, man.
Well, dolphins are known to be freaky creatures.
But it's talking about dolphins being entangled in fishing nets. Come on, man.
Wow, come on. That's not no sexual thing. They're just slow.
Okay, according to Merriam-Webster-Dictionary.com, the action of entangling, the state of being entangled, which so dumb. If you don't know what those words mean, you can't define entanglement. Something that entangles, confuses, or ensnares. The condition of being deeply involved. That defines what she was in, right?
It defines it, but I feel like she was evading the topic to some degree. You know, it's like, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, so yeah, it's like, yeah, his mentioning of their relationship was a quick little snippet in an hour plus long interview with Angela Yee, right? I think it was like 4 minutes. But in the 12 plus minutes that Will and Jada spoke, she didn't really go deep into stuff just to say, we were in an entanglement. What? So how entangled were you, Jada? Like, I wanted more juice or more details only because they took the time to address it. So I feel like if you're going to address it, then say it all. Just get everything out there so that you kind of disarm August in case he tries to throw your relationship up again to sell another album. Everything is already out there, and there's nothing more that he can say or do. But then again, I do feel like they are entitled to their private life, so I understand why she would have held back a little. Or maybe it's just what it was. Maybe I'm reading too much into it. Maybe it was just an entanglement.
I typically don't give a shit what grown people do with their genitals. I'm so serious. Like, if you're grown and August Alsina may have been a young man, how old was he when this supposedly happened? Like 24. He may have been a young man when he got involved in a relationship with Jada, who, yeah, she was still married. She may have been going through a separation or whatever at the time, but yes, she was still married. Whatever the case may be, they're grown. They both engaged in a consensual relationship. I'm going off of what people are saying on Facebook. People are kind of throwing Jada under the bus, saying that she's a predator, which is wild to me because I'm like, you know, people are saying she preyed on him week while he was, you know, going through something mentally. He had a lot of pressure on him. He had health issues. He had all this stuff of family losses, all kinds of crazy stuff, right? And she kind of took him in and counseled him and then took advantage of him. I'm sorry. Were they both not adults? Is Jada all of a sudden a licensed therapist? Then I and he was her client because that would be illegal. That would be predatory. You mentioned when we were talking privately that, oh man, you made a really good point, and now it's slipping my terrible memory. What point were you making about them?
So I was saying that if Will and Jada were going through a separation, then Jada was probably very vulnerable at that time, just like August probably was. And I feel like she used that relationship with August to try to put so much effort into fixing him and being there for him to avoid her own issues. So, like now they're talking about all this healing and personal growth and all that stuff. I feel like at that point, she wasn't trying to heal and grow. She was trying to avoid her issues by investing all her time and energy and even love into August.
Yes, that's exactly how I feel about it too. Like she was avoiding her own problems and trying to help him out. And also, apparently it evolved into a romantic relationship and they may have both benefited from it. I don't see August as being a broken man because of it. Like he didn't seem broken when he was talking about their relationship. He seemed like it was a good part of his life and maybe he wishes that he could have continued it. Like that's what it seemed like. But it people are acting like she destroyed this grown man. Like, really?
Which is stupid because if he didn't have his health issues and mental issues, and this still occurred, and he got his heart broken, would she still be looked at as a predator or someone who took advantage of someone? Like, I don't find her actions to be predatory. I just feel like she was avoiding her own shit and poured into August, and they both had things that they were missing from their lives. So she's that maternal figure for him, and he's. If, so keep in mind, Jada's mom is a recovering addict. I think it was heroin that she was addicted to back in the day. So she's used to dealing with addicts and chasing that in her mother. So that's familiar to her when she's dealing with August now, with his addiction and his health and his mental status. So it's like I couldn't fix my mom back then when I needed her most, but now she's around. Maybe I can appeal to August. Maybe what I've done now as an adult with my mom, I could do with August. It just so happens August has a penis that got entangled with her.
And also, when you're that close, there's a lot of bonding that goes on. So more than likely, it may have very well started out as her just trying to help him, and feelings got involved. It's like, that's what happens. That's human nature. And it's I just think it's crazy that people are trying to paint her as like some kind of monster. And I'm not giving her a free pass or anything because she's a woman, because I definitely feel like we have seen time and time again, it's so easily accepted when we see an older man with a younger woman or who was involved in an affair with a younger woman, and we don't ask what his motives were or anything like that. Like you just assume, oh, a big man got some young stuff, got the young stuff over there. Like, it's almost it's totally accepted for the most part when it's an older man. If this was Will, and I'm trying to think of a young pop star. What's her name? Tinashe? Is
Oh,
she
I don't know.
stop? I don't listen to the young people's music
Let's
anymore.
just say Ariana Grande. There we go. She's young.
Okay, yeah. Well, she right, that's good. She's like 27 now, so that's straight.
Damn, she's August's age.
Well, which is perfect. Really good. Okay, let's say Will got in an entanglement with Ariana Grande. And she went and had an interview and talked about how she was going through some shit. Oh, I lost Mac Miller and he was there for me and he helped me and I miss him and I love him. And I was on, on pills or whatever, and he got me through it. I really miss him and I love him. Would people look at him like a monster? I doubt it.
No, because they would see Will as, being caring, and the father figure relationship wouldn't be looked at as disgusting or predatory, where Jada is being looked at as a predator and in some regards, even a whore for what she did during her separation, where, like you said, they were close because you could only imagine how much they all shared. A lot of people share with people who are going through stuff to relate, to show them that they're not alone. She probably opened up long before they even had their entanglement,
Right.
to help relate to what he was going through. So no one would have looked at Will any kind of way. They were like, oh, you got your, like you said, you got your pretty young thing on your arm. Oh, how'd you bag that?
Right. Yep. And then
So
it would really would have been an issue because they would have talked about how Jada's just jealous, blah blah blah. And let's all remember that there have been rumors about the Smiths' open relationship status for a long time. So it's like, I don't really know how Will feels about this whole thing. I feel like that family as a whole has kept their business to themselves, at least Will and Jada. They have never confirmed or denied a lot of stuff. Like,
right.
people point blank asked Will Smith a few questions, and he's just like, oh, get out of my business, bro. He's told people, get out of my business. Why are you all up in my business like that? He, for as open as he seems to be with a lot of stuff, you can tell he keeps certain things close to the heart. And whatever makes their relationship work is what makes their relationship work. And that is their business. August, I think he betrayed a trust that he shouldn't have. And like you mentioned before, he used it to get attention and to help bring attention to his album, which is wrong.
His
You
album better be fire after
album
this shit.
great. It better be Taylor Swift level heartbreak breakup songs. Yeah. Like, if
I
you're
want to
gonna,
hear acoustic guitar. I want to hear you sniffling, crying, like ugly cry on this shit. I want to feel all your emotions, all your feels. If you don't move us, August, then you can move the fuck on, because it's wrong. He betrayed her trust, and I don't feel like it's one thing to tell, like to maybe open up to your therapist or something, or a trusted friend that wouldn't talk about it, especially since there's no NDA involved. But to use this, in my opinion, to push your album, it's just real convenient that you dropped that. No one knew what the rest of the interview was about. That's not even on the internet. No one knows that this man is raising his three nieces, that he lost his brother and sister, all the things that he talked about. I know about it because I watched the interview, but I watched the interview to see that piece. And
Right.
after that, I kind of tuned out. I don't even know what the hell he talked about after that. So no one knew the rest of it. That one little 4-minute snippet has now changed the privacy of someone else's life.
Right.
I'm not saying that, their moment didn't happen and blah, blah, blah. I don't feel like it's fair that it had to come out that way. They should have been in some kind of agreement to control this narrative together versus him just going all willy-nilly to now paint her like she's, and he didn't paint her in a bad light, but I don't think it's fair for the public to now take it and make it seem like she's some kind of villain.
Right.
She should have got an NDA signed, though. I don't give a fuck if you're famous. Sign this piece of paper, sir, because the moment you say something and speak on this entanglement, you're gonna have to be entangled with a damn lawyer at this point.
Like, we've seen that people who are in public relationships, like Meek Mill and Nicki Minaj, do they were fighting as early as like 6 months ago. I think they were fighting on Instagram or whatever, arguing, going back and forth. And it's like they had not been in a relationship for a long time. But when your relationship is clearly on the DL, there's reasons for that. And he definitely betrayed her trust. I don't care what anybody says. He took it upon himself to bring something to light that nobody knew about. I
Right.
didn't. I don't remember hearing any rumors about them.
Oh, there was
So
rumors.
there were.
Yeah, there
Well,
were rumors about them back when he was on Red Table Talk.
oh, I well, pardon me for being you know, I'm real disconnected from that stuff. I don't watch Red Table Talk because I don't like fake therapists anyway. I don't even like Iyanla because to me
Come on, beloved.
she does way too
Beloved.
much.
You have
Yeah.
to feel your feels, beloved. You don't
Basically,
like that?
I don't like TV therapists because
Yeah.
they do too much. I don't even like those TV judges who act like they want to counsel people in the courtroom. Get the F out of here. Yeah, I
You
just feel
don't
like
like what's his name? Judge Mathis calling everybody a crackhead?
right. I don't. I used to like Judge Mathis, but then he started being real rude. Say, we got a Judge Judy. We do not need another Judge Judy. We had Judge Joe Brown. He's an asshole. I think he's off the air because he was entangled in some mess.
Okay,
But anyway, I don't want to go off on a tangent. I'm just gonna say I don't like the TV therapist stuff because I think it's very contrived. And I have never watched a full episode of Red Table Talk. I've only ever seen snippets of it. So no, I was not aware that there had been rumors before.
yeah.
But
Well, it's fine not to be entangled in that show. I think most people watch it views when there's some salacious stuff going on. And I'm sure that this episode with Will and Jada was probably their highest viewed episode because everyone wanted to know what she was going to say. And everyone was watching their body language, Will's red eyes, and we ride together, we die together, bad marriage for life. And who doesn't like a new word to add to their vocabulary? Entanglement. Who was saying that before?
nobody
No
was
one.
using entanglement. Nope. Nope. So, all right. Well, that's how I feel about it. Grown folks, do what you will with your genitals. If you got money, or if you're famous, you need to consider getting a non-disclosure agreement or an NDA, which will protect you in case somebody exposes all your nasty little secrets. Okay?
AKA entanglements.
Okay.
Love that word. I'm gonna keep using it.
Are we gonna entangle it in our future topics?
I don't know, but it's gonna definitely be a part of today's title.
I hate when you get hooked on words. Oh my God. Use
Why?
the
You're stopping my, is it my phonic or phonetic ability? One of those words. See, I don't know enough words.
No.
I'm entangled.
It. Go ahead and use it. It's fine.
I shall. So
But
let's get entangled in our next topic.
okay.
See? See that transition just rolled right off the tongue. So I'm not gonna lie, I don't know enough about the next topic, but the way that I'm going to pose it may be helpful to my own understanding and the entanglement of my confusion in my little brain. So, was it the CEO of Goya? Correct me if I'm wrong.
President,
President.
yeah, which
Yeah, so
yeah.
go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say they've been calling him the president of Goya. I guess president and CEO are totally different titles, but anyway.
Oh, someone's entangled in titles. So he showed his support for Trump and admiration, and his public display of admiration for Trump turned into people now saying that they're going to boycott Goya. And we're black. So I don't know if boycotting Goya is something that would really impact a black household. I'll be honest, I use Goya kidney beans and dinner tonight. However, I've had it for months,
Yeah.
long before I knew that this man had any kind of admiration for 45. So, is it worth it? Like, are is it who does it really impact? Is that it seems to me that it's really more of something that Hispanic people may have an issue with. Where I have kidney beans from Goya, I have adobo and sazon. That's it. And those things are things that I don't buy that often or use a whole lot to where I'm like, when I went grocery shopping today, I wasn't like, oh man, I can't buy Goya. I got to find a substitute. So, and I don't think that white people even joining in on this boycott would make a difference because I don't know any of them using sofrito, however you say it, in their rice or any other food. So, is it really? I don't know. I don't know how to pose my question. Boycott it for what?
I think if people feel like a boycott is worthwhile, then it's meaningful to them. I when it comes to political stuff, I can be very, unforgiving when it comes to people's ideologies and viewpoints and stuff. I can be very unforgiving because I do feel like a lot of times who you align with politically, especially if you defend them vehemently or if you're all you never will acknowledge when your guy is wrong, when your guy could do better or whatever. You're always defending, like, let's just say it for what it is, Trump. And if you're a Trump supporter and you find yourself always defending him and never acknowledging when he does wrong, because the man is far from perfect. Okay. I mean, as a man, he's far from perfect. As a president, he's far from perfect. He has made a lot of wrong moves. And if you find yourself always defending that, you really need some introspection, if that's the right way of phrasing it. I think that's a word, introspection. You need to look inside yourself and see why you're always defending that. And, it's one thing to be upset that people are always attacking him, and I'm putting attacking on air in air quotes. Are you defending him from being attacked versus trying to understand where people are coming from? Trying not to go off on a tangent because I can. But anyway, I'm gonna say, bring it on back. Bring it on back to what we're talking about.
There
I'm
we
just gonna
go.
say, when it comes to Trump and people defending Trump, I try very much, if I am a friend of theirs or acquaintance or whatever, I try to allow people to have their own political viewpoints, even though at this point I do think defending Trump is a moral issue, an ethical issue, and your morals and ethics are extremely questionable to me if you're still touting him as this great person and good for America. So I think that's why a lot of people are upset with what the president of Goya said, because it's like, really? You're the president of Goya, you're a Hispanic person yourself, and you're the head of a company that, as far as I know, mainly caters to a Hispanic clientele. Everybody uses Goya. White people, everybody uses Goya, especially I think like Southwest states, that kind of Tex-Mex stuff. A lot of course, there's other brands out there. Goya is just like the most widely known, I think, for that specific flavor profile. I use Goya, but I don't use beans that much, or any other Goya vegetables that they offer, canned vegetables. I, like you, use the adobo. That is a staple. But how often do you buy adobo? I use it on everything, and I still only have to buy it a few times a year.
Yeah, maybe twice a year.
Yeah, and I always buy
Maybe.
the big one, so I really don't
Yep.
have to replace it that often. I do keep Sazon. That's another thing. I buy a box of it. I don't have to. It depends on how much you use of it, how worthwhile boycotting would be. Because if I said, I'm boycotting Goya, okay, well, what I have is going to last me through the rest of the year. So me boycotting is not going to be impactful. I can still be in solidarity with the boycott and make conscious choices when I'm grocery shopping. So next month, if I say, oh, I want to make chili and I have the option to buy Goya beans, I can opt not to buy it. Whereas, a family that uses their products more often, whether they be a Hispanic family or not, they're going to have to just completely cut it out if they're boycotting. So there's plenty of other options. I just think Goya does produce a pretty good product. And it's unfortunate that their president had to come out in support of Trump, who is a very controversial figure right now, especially for people in the Hispanic community.
But honestly, I'm not surprised completely of his support as a owner or president of a large corporation, probably getting a nice little tax break with
Oh,
your
yeah.
support.
Trump is good for corporations. I don't even know where they're based. Where is Goya based? Because I heard they were based in Puerto Rico. But, either way, they would still be privy to the tax cut, I believe.
It's a U.S. territory.
Right?
Oh shoot. If only I could spell Google right, then I can get to Goya. Where
So.
is Goya? On another note, I hate the keys on my laptop because I can't find my home keys.
How long have you had that laptop?
Couple of well, almost 2 months. It was a part of Sherwin's Father's Day gift. I bought him a laptop and bought myself one too.
You're terrible.
Yay. It was on sale. So it says here that Goya Foods had, I can't read. Goya Foods is headquartered on a 40-acre lot in Jersey City, New Jersey.
Oh.
Goya also operates a manufacturing facility in San Cristobal, Dominican Republic, and a distribution center in, is it Bayamon, Puerto Rico. So they're in New Jersey. Yeah.
So it's like they can the beans in Dominican Republic, distribute them through Puerto Rico, and then distribute them again through New Jersey.
Their headquarters is in New Jersey.
Oh,
So,
headquarters.
yeah.
Well, okay. I don't really know what that means for their taxes, but whatever. If
Yeah,
you
but I
headquarters
get your,
in New Jersey.
I get your point though, as far as you weren't really buying it anyhow and standing in solidarity. Like, I understand the boycotting, and shoot, the Hispanic population is probably larger at this point than the Black population, and we boycott stuff all the time.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know. I wish I had more Hispanic friends to ask a question. How do they feel about this support, especially knowing that there are quite a few Hispanics who also support him,
I
which
have a
is
lot of Puerto Rican
baffling to me.
friends, and a lot on my Facebook friends list, and just going off of what I see, one was straight up like, fuck Goya. And she's a young lady. She's like maybe 30 years old. She was like, no, fuck Goya. And also, there's an older Puerto Rican lady who says, basically, I don't care. I love Goya. I'm going to keep using it. So there we go. Two very different viewpoints. One person is like, no, I'm good. I'm good on Goya. And I think she's gonna try to make her own seasonings now. I'm not probably gonna make my own seasonings. Goya is not the only one who makes adobo. Why don't people use badia? I like badia.
I buy some badia stuff.
Yeah.
Badia, Ocho Rios, I mix it up, but it depends on where I shop because in some stores badia has a very small selection, where if I go to I guess like a more off-brand store, they tend to have more of a global variety in general. So one aisle, how like some of these major food chain stores will say like they have an ethnic section. Where in the off-brand store that I go to, they have a whole ethnic aisle of one ethnicity. So you could easily get a better variety. I think it's all in where you shop and if you're willing to be flexible to go look around in order to really make an impact with
Yeah,
the boycott.
but I think, yes, Hispanic people outnumber Black people by a lot.
Yeah.
I am not positive about the numbers right now, but I think Black people have been steady for a long time, 13% of the population. And I think Hispanic people are like 17, 18% of the population. So, yeah, we are the second largest minority in the United States. Which is whatever, because I think that when it comes to Hispanic issues, Black people should take it to heart. And when it comes to Black issues, Hispanic people should take it to heart because we're both large minorities in this country. And a lot of times, what affects one affects the other. So, just like Black Lives Matter, we group, at least I thought we group Hispanic people under that too, because the same way Black people get brutalized, Hispanic people get brutalized. The only time you might benefit from anything is if you happen to be a Hispanic person that looks can pass as white, that looks
Yeah.
basically.
Yeah.
So there we go. So, yes, I do think it's a worthwhile boycott if you feel strongly enough about the president of Goya supporting Trump. For myself, I am going to boycott in solidarity because, hey, if it becomes a big thing, it's not an issue for me not to buy Goya products. It's not.
Yeah.
I also think that for the people that choose not to boycott, that's their business. I would be way more gung-ho about it if he said a portion of Goya's profits go toward Trump campaign. I have been making very big efforts to not support businesses that support Trump. And I don't mean personal support. President of Goya is one person personally supporting them. But if he said a portion of our money goes toward Trump's reelection campaign, I would have a bigger issue with that. Yeah. You know
Yeah.
how many businesses support Trump? It's
A
crazy.
ton.
It is crazy. You know how long it's been since I've had something from Taco Bell? Ever since I found out that parent company that is like Taco Bell, KFC, Pizza Hut, Kentaco Hut. I did not make that up. When I
Are
used
you
to, no,
serious?
I didn't make that up. Like, I don't think my friends made it up either, but like 15 years ago, when I used to hang out with like this big group of friends, we always went to Taco Bell and they had a Pizza Hut inside of it. And we used to always say, we need a KFC. So, but, Yeah, they're all under the same parent company, which I have no idea what the name is. But yeah, they throw money at the Trump campaign. And it's like, come on, man. Why? Why you gotta do that?
Which is crazy. I loved my mini quesadillas, my mini shredded chicken quesadillas as my driving home on my hour commute from work snack. But them, Chick-fil-A and other companies, it's like, if you're gonna boycott, you kind of gotta, I guess, go full steam ahead and really stand in your beliefs versus picking and choosing. So I get it. Now you got me thinking because I forgot about Pizza Hut and KFC being together because we don't have a lot of how would you call it? Kentucky Huts. We don't have a lot of Kentucky Huts around me. Like the Taco Bell that just opened up down the street is a standalone. Standalone and the Pizza Hut near me is a standalone. So you never really put two and two together when you see them apart versus them being split in some way. And now I'm like, oh my God, did I have Kentucky Fried Chicken? Because I really don't care for their chicken. More of a Popeyes and Bojangles girl. And I don't care for Pizza Hut anyhow. It's easy to boycott shit like that when you don't really like their food. But we stand with you, Hispanic people of America, because this is kind of, I know that's Jack. Jack has joined the podcast. Sorry. Sit down, Jack. Go back in your cup. Anywho, I've lost my train of thought. Damn, I can't derail myself. Anyway, we stand with you, Hispanic people of America, because I can see how it's a huge slap in the face. We're so close to the election. We don't need more and more people coming out the woodwork with it. And I can't even pretend to play devil's advocate with this and understand where he's coming from with his support. Like, chill, chill, bro. Like, there are Hispanic people who are being put in, or children who are being put in cages and separated from their parents and all that good stuff. Like, you can't now come out and say, I don't care what ethnicity or what part of the world you're from. If you're Hispanic, you should have some kind of empathy for people being treated like animals and deported from this country and separated from their families. So in that regard alone, I can't. I'm not going to throw out my adobo because I feel like that's counterintuitive. I've already given you my money,
Listen, we ain't gonna be no
but I
burning
might
Nikes over
frown.
here. We're not burning
Right.
Nikes.
Like I've given you my money, but you won't get another dime out of me. When that adobo goes, it's just gone. I'll read the ingredients and make my own shit if I have to. I'm good at seasoning food. I really don't struggle to figure out how to put things together. And being married to a Caribbean man, I got a ton of Caribbean seasonings in my seasoning cabinet. So we'll just have jerk chicken instead. We're fine.
Jerk instead of sazon chicken.
Yeah, fuck that sazon.
I like the sazon on my
You're a
roast
noble choice.
pork. I
You
like the
what?
sazon on my roast pork.
Oh, yeah, it is good then. I think I only have two packets left.
Oh.
So, but I got a whole thing of adobo. Like I got the big one too. Shit. Whatever. I don't have any more kidney beans, so I used the last can I had. There we go. But it's crazy. Like we were on the phone talking, and I'm cooking, and we're talking about what we're gonna say on the podcast. And I'm like, shit, let me look in the trash can right quick. I just used Goya. Damn it. But my rice and peas is fire, and that's the end of that. All right. Is it time to get entangled with another topic?
Yes, ma'am. I think it's safe to move on.
All right. So, I'm gonna let you tell the story that you told me earlier, but next topic is regarding Black Lives Matter masks and employers' rights to dictate whether or not an employee can or cannot wear the Black Lives Matter masks at work. So tell the audience the story that you told me earlier.
All right. So a young man worked at a franchise restaurant, and he wore a Black Lives Matter mask. And it wasn't just any Black Lives Matter mask, which I'm not sure how relevant what it looked like is to the story, but it was a mask that actually had a lot of Black victims of police brutality, basically a bunch of Black people who have died over the past few years at the hands of police officers. And we know them. They're basically all hashtags. Anyway, this young man wore the mask to work, and he was told pretty quickly, you have to take that off. And they told him he had to put on like a company issued basic blue surgical mask, and he refused to do so. And because he refused to do so, he was told to go home. He wasn't fired. He was just told to go home. He actually called the local news station, and he kind of got on Facebook Live, and he rallied people to come and stage like a little mini protest. And the mini protest actually caused the business to shut down for like the rest of the night. It actually
Takar, if you can hear me, you faded out.
Yes?
Takar?
Oh.
You faded out. So you said it shut down.
Oh, sorry. I was just saying that the business ended up shutting down twice early because of the protests. So this young man, he had a few interviews. He gave interviews to the local news station. He gave interviews to a local journalist. And basically his point was that, this company hasn't been enforcing a mask policy. They're only taking issue with this Black Lives Matter mask. He has said that people were able to wear pride masks last month, and the company had no issue with it. And now all of a sudden they're trying to enforce their policy that their employees may not wear those type of masks. They can only wear the company issued masks. So that's the story. Many people probably also know about the Taco Bell employee from a couple weeks ago that was actually fired for wearing a Black Lives Matter mask. The company usually has the final say when it comes to dress code, when it comes to statements or whatever. Although, I would say Black Lives Matter is not really a political statement. It just is. Do you think Black Lives Matter? Yes. Okay. So what's the problem? The fact that Black Lives Matter offends people is kind of ludicrous. But whatever, that's a whole nother topic for another day. But I say, I don't know, because it's like, where's the line? I'm trying to think as like a business owner, where is the line when you allow people to wear things like that? And I'm glad he didn't get fired. I hope he doesn't get fired. I hope he doesn't get retaliated against for this, but I don't know. What do you think? Maybe I'll have a decision about how I feel after I know what you think.
Wookie. But no, I think, of course, employers have the right to set their dress code, right? But I feel like they also have a responsibility of being consistent and enforcing what that dress code is. So for example, at my job, you can't have any large visible logos in your clothes. So if it's a polo shirt, you can't have the polo brand huge across your chest, but we see it. if it's what's Victoria's Secret's brand pink, you're not supposed to have, you know, that across your chest or your ass, but we see it. meanwhile, I've had the responsibility of sending people home because they're doing stuff like that. You know, you can't have graphic tees, graphic clothing, any kind of verbiage on it. If you have any kind of graphics or any kind of logos, it needs to be small. You know, so if you're wearing polo, then you need to have your little man on his little horse, you know, hitting his little ball with the polo stick, right? I don't even know if that's what it's called, but whatevs. But I feel like it's the same way, whether you're a large business or a small business, if you have guidelines on what the dress code is, then you need to be consistent across the board. Right now, when it comes to like the Pride versus the BLM stuff on your mask, I feel like they're probably more scared to send someone home for wearing something that says Pride, or because if it's just a rainbow versus the Pride, you really probably can't say anything. You're now just assuming stuff. Yeah.
Hey.
But if it says you know, gay Pride, LGBTQ.
Yeah. Repeat what you said for the last 30 seconds. I'm sorry. We had technical difficulties. Yeah, it's not my fault.
I was on a roll. You have technical difficulties. I was saying that if it's if it comes down to Pride versus BLM on your mask, right? If you just have like the rainbow colors on your mask, you're probably not going to get sent home because technically you're in dress code. If the dress code includes not having graphic clothing or materials on, you just have a rainbow. But if it says LGBT Pride or Gay Pride on your mask, that's now an item of clothing or material that has graphics on it. So technically you should send that person home. But is that business owner really going to take that risk when this is, you know, 2020 and being lesbian, bi, gay, trans, and queer is acceptable, right? It's no longer this taboo thing. So it's fine. Our issue continues to go back to, is being Black acceptable? How Black can you be at work? So if you wear a BLM mask and you're now having the names of all these people who were wrongfully killed, not only is it you're wearing something that has graphics on it, which may be a violation of your company's policy, it's too hot to handle. And in my opinion, if they send you home at that point, they don't care about the Black Lives Matter movement, and they don't care about losing Black business behind it, because they don't want you to be customer facing and risk business from people who do not find value in Black Lives Matter. They'd rather just send you home because now you're problematic, because it's all over the media that the Black Lives Matter movement is a terrorist organization. They're bad. Meanwhile, it's not bad for people to want equal rights. You know, so companies are behind on shit. Not excusing, you know, what happened to this young man, but companies can be behind on stuff. And if it's a small business, you're not subject to a large group of people's rules and regulations. You're subject to that business owner's thoughts and views on whatever topic is bothering him at that moment, whatever's grinding his gears. So if he doesn't support Black Lives Matter, now his company doesn't support it, and you have to put on the disposable mask and take off the one you have on.
That's all right. Boom.
Woo.
Boom.
Jack got me.
I think that I agree that Black Lives Matter, we saw this happen. Black Lives Matter, I believe, was born out of George Zimmerman killing Trayvon Martin and the family not receiving justice because of that. The man is a murderer. He deserved to go to jail for murder. I think it was a huge failing of the justice system that he did not go to jail. According to, even though, you know, Stand Your Ground was brought up when that happened, I don't believe that he used Stand Your Ground as his defense. But this is trying not to go off on a tangent. It's good. I'm going to bring it back around in a second. But you can't, I just find a huge issue with the fact that people are hunting. You are going out and you are hunting young Black men. And when they turn around and fight for their life, you kill them. And somehow you are perceived as a victim. Somehow you are let off the hook for your actions. Like, does the person who was killed not have the right to defend themselves against somebody who is pursuing them? Like, Trayvon Martin had been stalked, right? He had been stalked through the streets by this man he did not know. And this man accosted him, and Trayvon got the best of him. Which, more power to him. People say Trayvon had the onus of responsibility to retreat from that situation. How? He turned around, he fought for his life, just like Ahmaud Arbery. He was running through that neighborhood for 4 minutes being chased by those murderers. And somehow he was painted as the bad guy in that scenario after he turned around and he started fighting for his life. So we have seen back in, I believe it was 2012 or might be 2013, I can't remember the exact year Black Lives Matter was born, but we saw that very quickly after Black Lives Matter became a movement, it was maligned. Immediately, it was maligned. And they have been saying from day one that they are about police brutality. They are about getting justice for Black people when it comes to these type of issues. And that's what they've been about from the jump. They just want justice. They want equality. They want justice. They want systems of oppression torn down. I mean, what's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. And we saw how the Fraternal Order of Police, I don't know, president, chairperson, whatever his title is, he came and he went on national TV and he spoke to somebody who was interviewing him and said that Black Lives Matter is a terrorist organization and they're anti-police and all this other stuff, right? And it just kind of reinforced this negative perception of this group that had done nothing. You know, the Michael Ferguson riots or protests, whatever, Black Lives Matter, they got put in the forefront of that and they got maligned there too. Oh, look at all the rioting, look at all the looting. They're burning their own neighborhoods down. How does that help anyone? This is white society, right? So they can't get behind Black Lives Matter, because how can we get behind a group that blocks off the streets and, you know, people are just trying to get home from work? Oh, I'm sorry that you're inconvenienced. I'm sorry that you have to wait an extra 45 minutes in traffic because people are fighting to bring attention to these racial inequities, right? So Black Lives Matter was kind of quiet. They were doing stuff behind the scenes. And then George Floyd got murdered and Black Lives Matter blew up. And in the time between when Trayvon Martin was murdered until when George Floyd was murdered, I think a lot of white people became conscious. They woke up to the realities facing many Black people in America that things are not what they seem. Things are not what the media is showing you. Things are not how they look in the movies where every Black man is a thug and you have to lock your doors in your car because you might get carjacked by every Black man that's crossing the street. Or you have to clutch your purse to you in the elevator because he might snatch it. Like, they woke up to how Black people have been perceived wrong, and not only perceived wrong, but how there have been systems in place for years that have basically oppressed Black people. I love seeing when white people get woke. I love seeing when Black people get woke. I love seeing when people get woke for real. Not,
Hotep woke. Okay. Woke right. For real. Okay. To the real issues. And, you know, so then we gained all these white Black Lives Matter allies. And I feel like a lot of them are young people that basically they don't have those older generations' perceptions of Black people, because they all have Black friends and their Black friends are cool, and they can't see why other people don't see that Black people are just like everybody else. Why are they getting this bad rap? Why do you take what's going on with Chicago and assign it to every Black person that you see, when 99% of us are peaceful people and just want to live our lives and be treated like everybody else? So I'm bringing it back around to say that once again, Black Lives Matter is being maligned in the media by everybody. Black Lives Matter protests, the George Floyd protests, which have blossomed into this international movement, which is amazing. You know, and of course you have the outliers, which are the looters and the rioters, which that, I'm sorry, but that's the shit that happens. And nobody's like excusing it, but it's kind of what happens when you get people that are wholly fed up with an unjust system. Wholly fed up. And of course, like we talked about before, you have the Asian provocateurs, you have the undercover police that are going in as protesters, and they're instigating riots. Or you have blatant police in uniform blocking protests, peaceful protesters, in, blocking them in, not allowing them to leave, and then shooting rubber bullets at them and tear gassing them, and then they present themselves as victims when people start throwing water bottles and rocks. And it's like, come on. So the media is responsible for how Black Lives Matter has been maligned, and just a lot of this negative shit that you see on social media, the fake news basically, where people can make something out of nothing. It's very easy to do. And they just blatantly lie. The new thing now is that Black Lives Matter is a Marxist organization being supported by the Muslim Brotherhood, because they got donations from the Muslim Brotherhood, that all the money that goes to Black Lives Matter is being funneled into Democratic reelection campaigns and all this other stuff. And it's like, if people just took 2 seconds to actually research stuff, then they would see how wrong they are, or they would see how misinformed they are. So I will say, when George Floyd was murdered, that whole first month after he was murdered, I guarantee that this business that told that young man to go home because of his mask, I guarantee they wouldn't have had any issue with it. I guarantee. But in that time, since George Floyd was murdered, so much has happened that has painted this negative connotation with Black Lives Matter. Now, companies that may have been using it as like a, we talked about this before, like, you know, they're jumping on the bandwagon of Black Lives Matter. All of a sudden, they're pandering a little bit. And that's fine. But then you get these other companies that maybe they genuinely don't give a shit about Black lives. You know, you can hire anybody to work for you. It doesn't mean you give a shit about them. Doesn't mean you give a shit about their family or anything like that. So, yeah. I think that the rules should not be enforced arbitrarily. I think if you're going to tell everybody to wear this mask or whatever, then absolutely, I'm sorry to the young man, but he's not allowed to wear the Black Lives Matter mask. But you cannot arbitrarily enforce the rules because you don't like what one person has to say versus another. Like,
that's just, it's not fair. And then when one person gets to wear a pride mask and he can't wear his Black Lives Matter mask, and again, nobody can even dine in. So nobody can dine in. Right. Wait, am I lying? I might be lying. I think we can, I think in my state, we can dine in now. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if his business, if his restaurant is dine in, if they've opened up for dine in, but they most certainly do curbside pickup and Uber Eats kind of thing delivery. But not that many people are really going to be seeing him face to face. But still, that just goes to show they value what their offended white clientele will feel versus what their Black worker will feel. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
Which is so messed up. Like, I understand you not wanting to sound or seem super political in general, but again, you have to be consistent with your dress code. How is this not acceptable? How is wearing a Black Lives Matter mask any different than wearing a mask for LGBTQ pride? Is it not acceptable to have pride in being Black while you're working? So that goes back to the morals and the beliefs of that business owner for me. You don't feel like Black Lives Matter, in my opinion. And I hope that that young man just finds another job. This is not the company for you. This company does not align with your values. And it's not that easy with the Rona outside to find something else to do. But it's just, I don't know. It's just fucking ridiculous.
Don't you wonder if the company would have had the same issue if it's All Lives Matter?
I was wondering that while I was talking.
If they would have had such an issue if the mask said All Lives Matter.
I don't feel like they would have minded it. Because now you appeal to the demographic that you'd potentially rather have patronize your business, and you still exclude the Black your Black customers.
Because we all know what All Lives Matter really means in response to Black Lives Matter.
Right.
So.
It's malarkey, damn it. That's not something you need to be entangled with. Don't have a racist entanglement. That's bullshit. And that's how I perceive it. It's not that if you don't believe in Black Lives Matter, you're a racist, but if you don't believe in Black Lives Matter, you're a racist.
Like, is it even a belief system? Like,
you said, is it a belief system? It's not even about the movement in general. If you really feel like with what's going on that the lives of other Black human beings that walk this earth with you do not matter, you're a fucking racist.
True.
I said it, and that wasn't Jack. That was me. All Steph, no chaser.
I completely agree. Too many people. I stay on Facebook way too much. It's kind of an addiction a little bit. I wake up in the morning, I turn off my alarm, and I check Facebook. Who cares what's going on Facebook at 7 o'clock in the morning? Nobody cares. But that's what I do. That's been my routine for a long time. And so quite often I am privy to what a lot of people are saying from both sides of an issue. And sadly, my local news station has a Facebook page that is just racked with racist white people. And to be honest, you know, I knew my state. Like, every state, I think, has their fair share of a racist population. But boy, oh boy, do they come out on this page. They really show their true feelings. and they're not worried about being fired from their jobs. They don't care. They do not care. And it's very evident in what they have to say. They bring up all these different stats and all this other stuff. And it's like, forget all that noise. Do you find value in Black lives? Do you find value in Black lives? How come you only care about Black lives when there's a white cop that kills one? Yeah, that's one of their favorite rebuttals.
Yeah, it's the same thing here too. See the same thing to the point where I can predict what the top three reactions will be to a news story.
That's sad. And that's really sad.
Yeah. And I'm the opposite of you. I'm at the point now where I don't even want to read the comments. And because I care about whether or not I'm employed, I don't respond to anything that I see because I don't know who else is going to see it. But I do kind of browse through to see names. Do I know you? Are you an open racist? How bold are you? Not so that I can get you fired, so I can stop fucking with
right.
you.
Yes, please. So. It's always great when they expose themselves. And I try to think back on my own. Like, I don't want to keep going too much longer just because, you know, I love my stories. But I'm trying to think back on my whole history of Facebook to if anything I've ever said could get me fired. You know, the most I've probably ever said that's been rude is before Facebook started really getting on their banning people bandwagon, will literally ban you for anything. Way back when, I think I had gotten into like some ridiculous argument with someone, and it was probably about some kind of racial issue. And he was just being nasty. And I'm like, well, if you want to be nasty, I can get down in the gutter with you. So,
oh, not the gutter, baby.
Gutter. So we were just going back and forth, just being rude. I mean, I might have called his mother a see you next Tuesday. I don't
know. Damn, not moms.
Well, you know, I just feel like when people are being really nasty and rude, it's best to cut them to the quick. And nobody wants their mama insulted. So,
you know, I'm the yo mama queen, so I kind of understand.
But anyway, that's it. That is about it. And it's like, you know, my job can't fire me for something I said 5 years ago on Facebook. Before I was ever employed. But one thing I haven't been is racist. People have certainly called me racist on Facebook, specifically for bringing attention to white hypocrisy when it comes to Black issues, white blindness when it comes to Black issues. And I'm fine with that. Like, you can call me a racist. It doesn't make me a racist. So, you know, if it doesn't apply, you let it fly, and I let that shit fly.
Yeah, I think it goes back to what we learned back in English class. What was it? I don't know what grade it was in high school. Attack the idea and not the person. Like, you don't have to agree with everything that a person thinks. But in order to have a fair argument, and heavy air quotes on fair, attack those ideas. The person doesn't really matter. You know, what you look like, your race and all that other stuff doesn't matter. Their mama ain't a part of the idea, but I'm gonna let you fly on that. but yeah, I think that as long as it's attacking the idea, supporting it with facts and all that other stuff, that's cool. That's the stuff that people probably don't get fired over in social media debates. But it's when you start attacking that person and you start using slurs and going a little bit further than the mama, you go back a few generations, you know, you got a little problem there. You remember when people used to be like, yo mama, something like your whole generation. I forgot how the whole thing went, whatever. It's been a while since I had to attack someone's mama. But yeah. I think it's like your mama, your daddy, your whole generation. I forgot. Kids were stupid in the 90s. Don't be like us. But anyway, I get what you're saying. But yeah, I just can't we all just get along?
I
There we
just
go.
want I get along. Like, I have so many white friends.
Don't be
I
one of
have so
those
many
people.
white friends. I can't be racist. No, but really,
I don't even
I
see
don't see
color.
color at all. I'm colorblind.
I just love the people.
I basically give everybody a fair chance, and I take everybody at face value. I used to be friends with someone who was kind of like a core friend in another group that I got in with, and they told me point blank, "Hey, he doesn't come around that often, but when he does, don't take anything he says personally because he's racist." And I'm like, "What the fuck do you mean he's racist? What
The
do you mean he's racist?" They're like, "Well, he had, some bad experiences with black people a few years ago, like some black guys jumped him or something like that." And I'm like, "What does that have to do with me though? Like, you're just gonna hate every black person now because some black guys jumped you in high school? Like, come on." Like, just so stupid. But when I met him, I was very cautious, and we got along just fine. He seemed like a nice person, and I just didn't understand where that came from, where the warning came from, until, I think it was MySpace. This is how long ago it was. He posted some crap on MySpace, like. It came out of the blue, and I'm just like, what the fuck? And I had seen it before, but I didn't expect it then. It was like, what if white people had white entertainment network? What if white people had white advancement for or advancement for white people scholarships? What if white people got into college based on our race? Oh, just all this what if white people, anything that they perceived as a unfair advantage or unfair anything that black people got, they said, what if white people this, what if white people that? And it was like a list of 20 different things. And I went off on him. And I'm like, if that's how you really fucking feel, thank you for finally showing your colors, your true colors to me. We're done. I'm good on you. And I held true to that. So it's not to say we haven't been around each other since that happened, but I've been very standoffish because once you show your true colors, I'm good. Thank you. Thank you. I'm not asking you
Wow.
to change. Just show me who you really are so I know how to proceed.
I would have to unfriend the whole group in real life because, no one's checking
Right.
them. Like it shouldn't take recruiting a black person into their friend group to finally have someone to tell them about himself. But, that's MySpace
No,
days.
that's a but that's a problem that still persists now. Like, that was my fault too, because a lot of black people, I don't know what they would have done 10 years ago, because this was about 10 years ago. But a lot of black people today will say, "Oh no, I couldn't deal with any of them. Uh-uh, no." They would just be like, "I'm good on them. I'm good on the whole group, right?" But me being Sappy Sally, I'm like, "I'm gonna give everybody a fair chance." And you know what? He showed himself to me, and I was like, okay, but you're 100% right. Why were his friends rocking with him? Why was his racism okay with them? And I think that is still a problem that persists today with a lot of white people. And that is why a lot of white people are so angry, because they have to have a reckoning with themselves. Why are these things that we used to be able to do all of a sudden an issue now? And it's like, you were doing racist shit in your white bubble,
and none of your friends ever checked you. And if you had a black friend, that black friend was me from 10 years ago, who also may not have checked you or her may not have seen it until it was like right in their face. So now you're mad that people are like, that's racist. That's racist. That's racist. You're racist. That's racist. Now all these white people are like so upset because they're being
Right.
called racist, and they're like, I'm not a racist. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? And it's like, yeah, I'm sorry, honey, you are. You are. You've been for a long time. It's just nobody's ever checked you on your shit.
Right. Just like people can find a new definition for entanglement. See that callback there? But yeah, just like people can find a new definition for entanglement. Sometimes you have to modify the definition of races. Your little snide comments here and there, the what ifs and all this other stuff. You have a fair advantage with your skin color that the rest of the world does not get. So to say, what if you had, WET and all this other shit? Like, come on. I think we even touched on this in the last
We did.
episode. So it's asinine to me. Like, get out of here, dude. Like, because you had a bad encounter with a group of people, it could have been any race of people that jumped you and you couldn't fight them off because it's multiple people. Not even saying you can't fight. I'm not even gonna go there and call you weak. You're kind of weak though, in the way you think.
Right.
You're working the wrong muscles here, buddy. But yeah, to have friends say openly that, we have to give you a heads up, he's racist. I think he probably says some shit that you weren't privy to. The post you saw on MySpace might have been the light end of it for people to outright know that he's racist. He's probably says some really foul shit, and there's nobody black around to check him.
Yeah. The fact that they
Which it
already,
shouldn't take a black person.
yeah, like that's why I'm so glad at the white wokeness right now. I hope it keeps up. I really appreciate a lot of these young people, man, 'cause I feel like they are doing the hard work.
Yeah.
And it's awesome to see. They're doing the hard work in researching. They're not just brushing stuff off. They're not a pull yourself up by the bootstraps, making excuses for, their ancestors' centuries of oppression. They're not. They're like, hey, I am white. Like, I don't think I should feel guilty. I'm not going to feel guilty for being white. I was born white. I had nothing to do with it. But I do acknowledge that the color of my skin offers me certain privileges that black people aren't offered or other minorities aren't offered. How hard is that? How hard is that to do?
Right.
It's very hard for a lot of people.
But the people that you mentioned see, like they get it. They get the point. They're not countering it with All Lives Matter.
Right.
What if we had white entertainment TV? So I agree with you. I commend them too.
Don't even know
The
how
children are our future.
children are our future. How did we start talking about this? Oh, the mask.
Yeah, we were talking about BLM
Something
masks, and then we started talking about other masks. Racist.
bad.
No, I'm just kidding. But
We are the queens
I
of
mean,
tangents, my God.
Tangent Queens, we might have to change the name of our show from 1,000 miles apart to Tangent Queens or 1,000 miles apart from the topics. Ooh. But that's how we interact in real life. We are all over the place, and eventually we'll get back to what we were talking about.
True.
But that's a part of that. Honestly, it's not scripted, so that's a part of natural conversation. That's how we think, that's how our minds go. We just try to encapsulate it, entangle it into a shorter period of time versus our normal long ass conversations.
I know.
Meh, we don't have to over explain.
Y'all are lucky. You're only getting like an hour and a half sometimes of us talking. We have marathons, okay? We have 12-hour marathons, so consider yourselves lucky.
Babe, we're in an entanglement with each other.
Yes.
I like it. I like it a lot. Oh, yeah. I'm low-key blushing. Ew. I'm blushing.
How you do that to yourself? You know what? No more Jack. No more Jack. You.
I'm done with my cup. I'm on water now. I have to work in the morning.
I was going to tell you, you need lightweight stuff. You need like a Moscato spritzer or something.
No, bitch, I would finish a whole bottle of wine by myself and be like, now it's time for Jack. Like, no.
Now that the chaser's done.
Right, you're trying to make me an alcoholic for real because I have one, maybe two drinks, now I'm an alcoholic.
How big was your cup?
Yeah, so it wasn't small.
And the fact that you were like, oh, I finished the Coke. I ran out of Coke like hours ago. I was straight Jack now.
Coke smoke. As long as it's Jack Daniel's honey, all you need is ice. You don't need anything else. I just happened to buy a Coke while I was grocery shopping. And I was like, I have liquor. And I have a Coke. I don't really drink soda, but I'll drink liquor and soda together.
I actually made some Kool-Aid last night.
Ew.
No. Ew. Like, all right. Don't want to go off on too much of a tangent again. But I made blue raspberry Kool-Aid a couple weeks ago. And I bought it on a whim because I had been thinking about it for some reason. And the last time I had blue raspberry Kool-Aid was probably 10 years ago and or longer. And I bought it and I'm like, this stuff is delicious. Why did I stop drinking it? Maybe because I became aware of how much sugar I was taking into my body. But
I mean, it's a cup of diabetes. Yes, it's
basically a cup of diabetes. It's like a cup, that whole container of Kool-Aid turns into like 3 pounds of fat, of stomach fat. So, but yeah, I stopped drinking Kool-Aid, just straight up stopped drinking it forever ago. And for some reason, I kept thinking about the blue raspberry lemonade. And I'm like, that flavor, I remember being really good. So I made it and I'm like, it is really good. This stuff would be so good with liquor. So now I have like 10 packs of Kool-Aid. And I have so much liquor that I don't drink because I buy it on a whim and I don't ever drink it. But, you know, it's been hot this summer so far. So maybe I'll cool off with some liquor.
Not liquor and Kool-Aid, though. Like, you making, I don't even know what that's called. Is that Project Punch?
It's a Project Punch. It's not Jungle Juice. Wait, I'm making a Hood Sangria.
Hood Sangria.
I don't know.
I'll accept that.
Okay. Yeah. So,
because I think Jungle Juice is more of a mass mixture that's made by people that don't understand that you can't mix all kinds of liquor.
Oh, yeah. And it yeah. turns out disgusting. I don't believe anybody who says this tastes good. It's disgusting. It, at the end of the day, it ends up tasting like red NyQuil.
Yes, I was thinking Robitussin. So yeah.
Ugh. All right. Well, I think we're all tapped out of tangents for the night.
Okay. Well, this has been fun, my love.
It has.
I have to cough. I cough every episode. Damn it. I'm going to hold it in. There we go.
Thank you.
If there was no Rona outside, I'd be fine with my coffee. Anywho, let's wrap it up. Go ahead.
All right, guys. This has been 1,000 Miles Apart. I am Takara.
And I'm Stephanie. Please listen to us on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and wherever podcasts can be found. If there is a rating option on these podcast platforms, please give us 5 stars or whatever the equivalent is. Rating us helps us become found by more listeners and become more global. Global domination. Thank you. You can also you can also follow us on Facebook at 1,000 Miles Apart and on Instagram and Twitter at 1,000 Miles Apart Podcast. We thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening, guys. Bye.
Bye.